hearing is conditional use number 1762 T.S. Smith and Sons Farm Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a retail farmer's market with a small petting zoo to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest 400, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1 acre more or less, lying at the southwest corner of U.S. Route 13, also known as Sussex Highway, and Road 600, also known as Fallen Road. For the benefit of the commission, I passed down copies of the survey and site plan for this application. We received comments from the Department of Transportation. We're advised that the department reviewed Main Street, which is Route 13A, Fawn Road, Redden Road, and Sussex Highway being U.S. Route 13 in consideration of this project. The traffic impact study was not recommended. That with existing conditions with no development, the level of service of Main Street is C, the level of service of Fallen Road is A, the level of service of Redden Road is B, and the level of service of Sussex Highway is C. That the existing conditions with development plus existing peak hour traffic plus committed development with site-generated traffic and a projected level of service with no highway improvements during the peak hour of level of service on Main Street will remain at level of service C. The level of service of Fawn Road, Redden Road, and Sussex Highway could change to level of service E. That the property is subject to the department's corridor capacity preservation program, which has a goal to maintain the capacity of the existing highway. That the state strategies indicate that this property is located within an investment level 4, where the state will encourage the preservation of a rural lifestyle and discourage new development. That the program policy states that no new or expanded access to Sussex Highway will be permitted in an investment level 4 area. That the department will not permit an access to the site from Sussex Highway, and that the department would permit access to the site along Fallen Road. Comments we received from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, we were advised that the site is located within the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 1. That an individual on-site septic system would be proposed, that the proposed project is located north of the town of Bridgeville and is not in an area where the county has a schedule to provide sewer service. That the applicant should contact the town of Bridgeville for questions regarding future central sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have a question.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application? Well, come on up, give us your name, and find out more.
Tom Smith, T.S. Smith and Sons.
I'm sure you've heard what our director had to say about your application. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, we produce fruit and vegetables, and we want to put a fruit market on existing property that was previously commercially zoned, but because we thought it would be costing us tax money, we took it back to AR1. All that land on US 13 is commercially zoned.
That's right.
This is all along a corridor that is being commercialized. It's on a corner of 13 and Fawn Road, and I did not think we would ever get an entrance off 13, but off Fawn Road I would thought we would have. And we have a commercial business and power. Well, there's two commercial businesses on the opposite side of the highway from me. I have a doctor's office on the other corner of the the business that I'm looking at. And we just want to have a more visible place to sell our fruits and vegetables during the tourist season. And we know that this property would be a highly prized place to put it.
I would suspect that everyone on commission has visited the site, some of us hundreds of times. But let's just see if anyone has any questions for you anyway.
Okay.
And we'll start with Mr. Gordy.
Yes, sir. So is this addition to your present location? Will this be addition, or are you going to?
Yes. I have a wholesale and a retail business.
Right.
This would be a retail business.
Keep the others.
Where I would sell fruit and vegetables and try to attract more tourists and off-highway customers.
So what hours of operation are you?
It would be 7 days a week, 8 to 5. 9 months a year.
And that usually starts up in what month do you usually start?
When I cut asparagus, sir, sometime in April.
April. So, I know you grow your own produce. Do you get produce from other vendors?
Yeah, local growers. I buy tomatoes locally. Okay. Everything I try to buy in Sussex County.
So you'll be benefiting local farmers.
Except when it's not available locally, I'll buy from Florida or other locations.
The petting zoo, can you tell us a little bit about that? What do you prefer?
That is my brother's wife's idea.
Okay.
It's not my idea. It would be something in my peak season if we did it. In the prime season being, you know, August, September, and October, where you might have a goat and a pig and some chickens and a few pens around. But
apparently you won't be cleaning...
It's not my, I'm not the animal. Well, I'm a dog lover, but I'm not going to be into that.
Just a small scale.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This would be something, a tourist attraction. Entertainment farming is the term that they're using now to try to attract more people to your business.
Exactly.
And the more things you can add out there, families will bring their children to your place of business to try to come in and spend a few more minutes, and if they do, maybe they'll buy.
Right. Yeah.
So you're trying to attract the tourist dollars. And local dollars. I mean, a lot of people locally still are getting away from the farm. It's sure. not like it yeah. was once before.
Well, it's so expensive to try to grow your own. That's all the questions I have right now.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question.
Yes.
Would there be any sales of alcohol beverages?
No.
No. So any
cider,
Delaware wines
maybe
or anything
if it got
like
old,
that?
But only cider.
Okay.
Apple cider.
If you have your cider on layaway, you might be a problem.
And I do have people that come in and want it hard. I'm sorry, but that's, I can't quantify what it's in it. You know, it's just apple cider.
No other questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
We're not done yet.
You're not done. You're not done. You got a few more to go, and a little bit more. Go ahead.
As you may have heard with our prior conditional use application, the commission has the ability to put certain stipulations and conditions on these type of applications. And with your particular application, if one of the stipulations was that you could not have your petting zoo, would you be upset?
No.
Okay. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
I don't think that's going to make me money, but it might cost me more than it's worth. So it's...
Mr. Burton.
No further questions.
Anything else?
Hang on. Just hang on. I'll let you know when we're done. Okay. Mr. Blank?
No question.
Counsel?
No question. Thanks.
One thing I want to revisit with you, as Mr. Johnson said, we have the ability to place stipulations on your conditional use. One of the stipulations that typically gets placed is the hours of operation. And I'm just thinking that you might want to think about that a little bit, because aren't you going to want to be open in the summer evenings before it gets dark?
Well, it's... I'm giving you that my standard operation procedure right now. If we put a business out there and it's new and you're asking me a good question, yes, because the tourists on Sunday night travel till 9 o'clock, and most of my competitors are open till 9 o'clock on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights to catch that business. And I would say we would be open. Well, there's no housing anywhere near where we are. It's all commercial, and I don't think that would cause a problem with anybody.
Well,
but you're right, it would be something that should be considered. I would not like to have
You wouldn't want one of your competitors to look up your conditional use and see that you're only supposed to be open till not from 9 to 5 and then have the county come.
No, I didn't realize if I stated my hours that that would be what you
could
would
be.
Put in.
It would be. That's
and
why. That's,
no,
that's
I would.
Why
I would rather put in that.
How about 8 to 9?
That would be nice.
7 days a week. Yeah. There you go.
Because my present business sometimes is, it's grandfathered for the last 106 years. It's, you know, I'm there 7 to 7 most days.
I understand. But, and that's why I brought it up.
Thank you.
Because I was concerned that you maybe weren't aware of it. One other thing is the presence of a sign. I would assume would be your intention to have a sign?
Yes.
Okay. Any idea of size? 4x8? 10x10?
Well, I have signage now to my present business, but I would think I would want probably become modern, maybe go with an LED sign and put something out there that would attract customers on that corner. Because I can turn them around the corner on Redden Road and bring them back around. The new location is going to throw them for a loop.
Yeah.
But, yes, I would think...
a lighted sign would be in something you'd be looking to do.
Now, I don't need permission to put a big sign on my building or anything like that, right? If it's painted and T.S. Smith & Sons is written all over the roof and everything like that.
Well, yeah, you would have to go through, we'd have to look at the sign ordinance. Special exceptions group that does.
The special exception is a billboard type sign. He would be permitted to have an on-premise sign on either 13A or Fong or both.
Yeah, I know he could have
got a corner lot.
Right.
On the building.
He could also have 150 square foot total signage on the building without having to go through a variance.
There you go. There is
It was only 100 square foot, and they changed it to a total of 150 or 200.
I can be like Louie and put a trailer on the road. No, I didn't say
that.
Get an old van. I'm just getting a laugh out of it.
You can get an old van and paint it up and set it out there. Yeah. Some of them are doing that.
Yeah, one brought out.
Okay, Mr. Smith, we appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you.
Don't go too far away in case somebody else has a question, but we'll see if there's anyone here that wants to address your application.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1762 T.S. Smith & Sons Farm Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1762? Anyone on the commission have any further questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1763 Alton R. Stack.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a contractor's office and parking for vehicles and equipment to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dykesburg 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 28,964 square feet more or less, lying northeast of DuPont Boulevard, also known as U.S. Route 113, 1/4 mile south of Route 321, also known as Woodbridge Route. And for the benefit of the commission, I pass down copies of a small packet of information. It includes a survey by Rabat Shibata, a sketch of the improvements, and a proposed building plan interior. On this application, we also received comments from DelDOT. We were advised that a traffic impact study was not recommended, that the existing level of service B over DuPont Boulevard, being U.S. Route 113, will not change as a result of this application, that the property is the subject of the Department's Corridor Capacity Preservation Program, which has a goal to maintain the capacity of the existing highway, that the state strategies indicate that this property is located within an investment level 4 area where the state will encourage the preservation of a rural lifestyle and discourage new development, that the program policy states that no new or expanded access to DuPont Highway will be permitted in an investment level 4 area, that it is unlikely that the department will approve an access along DuPont Highway at this site, and that prior to making a final access determination, the department will need further information. We also found, based on comments received from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, that the site is located within the North Coastal Planning Area, that an individual on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that the proposed project is not in an area where Sussex County currently plans to provide sewer service, that the applicant should contact the town of Georgetown for information regarding future central sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. And that's all I have, gentlemen. I have a question.
Mr. Lang, I just want a clarification.
Sir.
What did Del Dot say about an entrance approval?
In their comments, it was stated that it is unlikely that the department will approve an access along DuPont Highway at this site, and that prior to making a final access determination, the department will need further information.
Okay. Thank you.
But it did not require a TIS.
Anyone here representing this application?
What you want to ask?
Okay, is there anyone here representing the conditional use application number 1763 out in our stack? Is there anyone here with an interest in this application? Mr. Lank, we do not have an applicant, so we will not have a record. So we'll close the public hearing.
You want to close or just defer it to the end of the meeting in case they're late?
We'll defer. Yeah, we'll defer it to the end of the meeting. I need a motion from somebody.
Mr. Chairman, I move we defer the public hearing for conditional use number 1763 until the end of this meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer conditional use, the public hearing for conditional use number 1763 Alvin R. Stack until the end of the meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, then. Our next public hearing is change of zone, number 1625, Darren Schaefer, care of DGS Services, LLC.
The application to amend comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County. The land lying north of Route 26, 400 feet west of U.S. Route 113, to be located on 0.68 acres, more or less. Well, gentlemen, I believe earlier you were provided with a copy of an exhibit booklet. That exhibit booklet contained a general purpose, clause, a site description, references to existing conditions, photographs, references to the site plan as it relates to zoning, buildings, and utilities, and a series of maps, exhibits, and letters. And that is a part of the record. We did receive comments from DelDOT that a traffic impact study was not recommended, that the existing level of service B of DuPont Boulevard, the level of service D of Clayton Street will not change as a result of this application. County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, we were advised that the site is located in the Dagsboro-Frankfort planning area, that wastewater capacity is available for the project, that sewer service has not been extended to the area at this time, that conformity to the Dagsboro-Frankfort planning study will be required, that the site is expected to receive sewer service when a developer of a proposed project located on the south side of Route 26 completes construction of a pump station and extension of sewer service to the area. That the department is currently in the preliminary plan review process. That the department will consider a district expansion at some future time, and the above parcel will be included in the expansion at that time. That the schedule is unknown at this time, and when sewer service becomes available, connection to the system is mandatory, and that a concept plan is not required. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Ms. Hansen.
Good evening. Thank you very much for allowing me to come here tonight. Members of the commission, my name is Stephanie Hansen. I'm here tonight representing DGS Services, LLC. They're the owner of the property. With me tonight is Mr. Darren Schaefer, who is part of DGS Services. He's actually the managing member of the LLC. And we have Mr. Steve McCabe from George Miles and Buehr and Mr. Patrick Rollick, who is a new engineer with GM Bidding. The application involves a slightly less than 2-acre parcel of property. It's 1.94 acres. It's located just west of the town of Dagsboro, approximately 500 feet west of Route 13, and it's along Route 26. DGS purchased the property in 2006, and they had the intention of putting on a couple of buildings, a couple of buildings that make each part of them some office space and some warehouse space. They thought the entire property was zoned for commercial. Went in and submitted a site plan to put on their two buildings and found out, much to their surprise, after they had purchased the property, that it was not all zoned C1. It was split zoned. So we have about 1.26 acres of C1 and about 0.6 acres of AR1. And in AR1, they couldn't put the driveway, they couldn't put the parking. So thus, this is why we're here with you this evening. The application here is just to rezone the AR1 portion, that 0.68 acres, to CR1, so that the whole zoning over the property will be commercial, and he can put up the buildings that he thought he was going to be able to put up when he first purchased the property. As I mentioned, there's going to be, he's thinking about having, or at least at this point is proposing, two buildings. Both of them are going to be one story. Both would have 2,500 square feet of office. One of them would have approximately 5,400 square feet of warehouse. The other building would have approximately 7,070 square feet of warehouse. Currently on the property right now, there is an abandoned single-family home, and there is a detached garage, and both of those structures would be demolished in the redevelopment of the property. At this time, I'd like to bring Mr. Schaefer forward and ask him a couple of questions. You could hear a little bit more from him, what he'd like to do with the property, if that's okay.
Sure.
How are you? Good evening.
Can you state your name for the...
Darren Schaefer.
And what is your business that you'd like to put here?
I own a flooring company called Creative Floor South. We deal with residential, new contract, commercial flooring installations. We mainly use the area for warehouse space and office space and a small showroom.
And how did you find out the property was split zoned?
It was after we went through DelDOT to get the letter of no objection. We submitted the site plan to planning and zoning, and it was rejected because of the split zoning. You're probably wondering why I didn't know that before purchasing the property, but I did do a due diligence study. I thought I did everything proper. I hired an engineering firm to research the property. Obviously, they didn't do the job that was necessary, and which brings me in front of you fine folks tonight.
Can you tell us a little bit about, you've heard one of the comments that a lot of time the commission will have, particularly in commercial operations, is what are your hours of operation? What do you plan on doing here?
Well, currently we've been in Sussex County. We have an office in the Route 9 Industrial Center in Georgetown. We've been there for 5.5 years now. We operate Monday through Friday from the hours of 7 to 3.
And how many employees do you anticipate having at this particular location?
Right now I currently employ 6 full-time employees, and I have upwards of probably 70 subcontractors over different periods of time that I employ. Going into the future, probably going to grow that to 10 to 12 employees full-time.
So you probably have 10 to 12 employees here at this facility full-time, you think?
At this new facility, yes.
What about truck traffic?
Again, we get deliveries Monday through Friday from 7 to 3. Depending on the day, usually the heaviest days are Mondays and Wednesdays, we'll see 5 to 6 trucks. Out of that, maybe 2 of those will be 18-wheelers and the rest will be cube van box trucks.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk a little bit just about the general characteristics of the property, and a lot of these maps, the things that I'm going to talk to you about, they're all exhibits within your book, so I'm just going to refer to them quickly. The existing land use map shows the property in the mixed use Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The future land use plan shows it is located within the town center, but you may notice, or you may not have noticed, that the future land use plan in your exhibit book is not correct. It is an old plan, so what I would like to do is I have copies that I'd like to submit for the record of the current future land use plan so that you can see for yourself.
That's fine. Thank you.
And as I said, it shows it in the as the property located completely within the town center growth area. As you know, within town center, they retail and office uses are appropriate. The comprehensive plan encourages an appropriate mixture of residential, institution, and light commercial uses. The state strategies map, which is also in your exhibit book, shows this is in a level two. And in a level two, departure from the typical single-family dwelling units with a broader mix of housing types and commercial sites is encouraged. They focus on locating employers in level two. And the state strategies also recognizes that there'll be many opportunities for small and medium-sized businesses in level two. It's taken from the comp plan, from the state strategies. Lastly, the developed and protected lands map that's in your exhibit book from the comp plan also shows this property as developed. You'll notice something that's perhaps not in your exhibit book, and that is any comments from PLUS. This project was not required to go through PLUS. It's a small project. It's less than 75,000 square feet. Also, because the rezoning is not inconsistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, it wasn't required to go through PLUS either, and it's not inconsistent because it's part of a growth area. It's within the town center growth area. As Mr. Lank had mentioned earlier, the property is not within a current service, a sewer service area or water service area. So at this point in time, it'll be serviced by on-site well and septic. I'd like to bring up, if I could, for a couple minutes, Mr. Steve McCabe, the engineer from GMB, to ask him a couple of questions.
Good evening, gentlemen. Steve McCabe, professional engineer, George Miles and Buehr.
Mr. McCabe, I'd like to talk for a couple minutes just about DelDOT and the roadways. Did we receive a letter of no objection from DelDOT?
Yes, we do. We have met with DelDOT, and we have a letter of no objection on the entrance location as shown by the exhibit. The site currently has a driveway with two entrances, which we will be combining into one commercial entrance.
Is this also located within the combined highway corridor overlay zone?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And as part, as being located within a combined corridor overlay zone, a landscape plan will be submitted for your approval if the rezoning application is successful. Next, we talk a little bit about parking. How many parking spaces are required and how many do we have?
By county code, 25 parking spaces are required for the amount of square footage that is shown by this plan. On the plan, we have 28 spaces shown, which is more than is required.
And do we have any parking within the front setback?
We do not.
And the front setback is how big?
60 feet.
I'll also note that the code requires that where you have 10 or more parking spaces and you're going to be next to a residential zone property that you have to have a minimum, the 6-foot high fence or hedge that provides screening between the two properties, and we will be doing that on this property as well. Septic feasibility report. Is there a septic system feasible for the site?
Yes, it is. We have a site evaluation report that was performed by a Denrec licensed Class D site evaluator that approves the site for elevated sand mound on-site septic systems. It was our original intent to have central sewer through the county. However, the county report that was read earlier by Lawrence Lank basically excluded us for the time being until an adjacent property owner constructs a pumping station, at which time we will have eligibility for, for central sewer to the county. So that basically led us down the route of having an on-site system. We had a site evaluation done, and the site evaluator has found the site suitable for an on-site septic system.
And can that system be located anywhere on the property, or is it pretty much confined to where it is?
It's generally confined to the location that it's shown on the plan. Within the exhibit booklet, you will see that there is a site evaluator's report. He has evaluated the entire site. He has borings that are located on the report that's in the project booklet that basically identifies the central part of the site as the area suitable for on-site septic.
And let's talk a little bit about stormwater management. How will stormwater management be handled on the property?
We will be using best management practices, and we will be using a stormwater management system that's in conformance with county standards and Sussex Conservation District standards. At this time, being where it's a change of zone that we're applying for, we're aware that we will also have to go through the site plan approval process. So the stormwater management system isn't defined and isn't set in stone at this time. What you see on the plan is a preliminary design. However, we feel that it can sufficiently be used as the planning guide for this site at this time.
Patrick, if you could, for the folks in the audience, can you be Vanna White and just kind of show on the plan where the stormwater management is that we're anticipating? Okay. Thank you. See?
The basic design of the stormwater management pond is an infiltration pond, and it's being planned to be dry with a discharge into the tax ditch.
Well, that brings up an interesting point that we were going to actually cover next, which is the tax ditch. Talk to us a little bit about the tax ditch and where it's located and your conversations with DENREC.
Right. We have identified a tax ditch on the property line in the rear of the site. It's called Pepper Creek Tax Ditch, and we've had communications and work with Brooks K. Hall at the Division of Soil and Water, and we are utilizing the tax ditch for drainage. That's what its intention is. That's why it was constructed, and with the blessing of his department, we've actually had the maintenance easement changed to accommodate this site. We've had the easement moved. Typically, you know, some of these easements are 60 feet wide for maintenance of tax ditches, and we've coordinated with Brooks K. Hall and the tax ditch maintenance organization to move the right-of-way to the edge of the top of the bank of the ditch to accommodate the site and accommodate the stormwater management system. So we've been working, you know, in conjunction with DEMRAC, and we have had a lot of work that we've done in that area to accommodate this. So that is an item that we have addressed and we have spent time on.
And you'll see the letter from Mr. K. Hall in your exhibit book. It's exhibit 17, where it talks about DENREC's intention to eliminate the right-of-way. Next, let's talk a little bit about wetlands. Are there wetlands on the property?
There are wetlands on the site. We had a wetland evaluation done. It was identified only to the bottom of the tax ditch. The letter basically states that there is no wetlands on the site with the exception of the bottom of the tax ditch. And it has been identified as non-title, and therefore it is in a tax ditch right-of-way. So
can you point out on the map where the tax ditch is?
Certainly.
Vanna? Will there be any impact to the wetlands from this project?
Essentially, no, in my opinion, because the way the stormwater management regulations are, the pre-development runoff and the post-development runoff are going to be similar. And like I said before, if you read the letter that's in the project booklet from the wetland evaluator, and from Brooks Cahill from the Tax Ditch Division. The purpose of the ditch was to drain the land. It's a man-made ditch, and based upon the report of the wetlands evaluator, it's non-tidal. So we don't feel that there's going to be a negative impact.
Okay. Is the property located inside the 100-year floodplain?
It is not.
Okay, and I'll note for the commission that the FEMA map is in your exhibit book at Exhibit 9. Are there any historic resources located on the property?
There have none been identified at this time.
All right, thank you, Mr. McCabe.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Letters to all of the adjacent property owners were sent by us back on December the 12th, letting them know what our intention was with the property. We actually sent them a copy of the site plan that you have in front of you as well. Until this evening, I had heard from only one member of the community. That's Mr. Francis West. And Mr. West lives, Francis Smith. Mr. Smith lives just to the west of the property. He has a residential home. He had contacted me. His concern was whether or not we were going to be putting mini storage on the property. He didn't want mini storage on the property because he said, people come and go all times of the night, and he didn't want that. And I said, no, the intention is this is going to be a carpeted flooring warehouse and office. He also asked about lighting, and after speaking with him, we were able to address his concern. We told him we would put in directional lighting so the lighting won't shine over onto his property. He wanted to make sure that if there were going to be parking spaces that were going to head into his property, which there are, that there would be some kind of fence or screening, and of course we've agreed to that, and we have to agree to that because that's part of the code, but we're going to be doing that as well. He said that he, with those conditions, was supportive of the rezoning. He was not going to be here tonight. He thought, though, that the redevelopment of the property and the tearing down of the existing house that's there and the garage and kind of redeveloping the area and bringing in a couple of jobs would be something that would be helpful for his property value. In summary, I'd like to just mention this is really a cleaning up of the zoning map where we've got a split zone piece of property where the majority of it is already commercial. We're in an area that is designated as a growth area in a town center. We're going to be bringing in jobs to an area that clearly could use jobs, and we're going to be eliminating two entrances onto Route 26 and making them one that conforms to DLDOT. And as I believe Mr. McCabe mentioned earlier to you, this is just a zoning hearing. What we're showing you here is a whole lot more detail than you would normally even be interested in considering for a zoning hearing, but we wanted to give you an idea of what Mr. Schaefer has in mind. And of course, as you know, as this goes through the site plan review process, there will be things that will have to be changed on it. And that's our presentation.
All right, we thank you. We'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if anyone has any questions. But before we do that, I want to remind the commission, the public, and the applicant that this is a change of zone hearing. That means that is this property suitable for commercial use? Appreciate the testimony given by the applicant, but the truth is that he could decide to do something different tomorrow. He could sell it. Somebody else could move in there and do something else. So, gentlemen, the question before us this evening is a zoning question. It is not a use question. That having been said, we'll start with Mr. Gordy.
Just one question. I understand why the applicant's here. Can you describe other commercial, what is other commercial in the area? I mean, what type of businesses there are, or would please?
Sure. Around, let's see.
Yeah, I've got the zoning map. I just want to know what type. I mean, you're telling me there's C1 or whatever, but I don't know what type.
Right next to the property is the American Legion. Okay. So directly to the east is the American Legion. Then you go a little bit closer to the intersection of 113 and Route 26. Currently, that particular corner is vacant.
Okay.
The other corner on the other side of Route 26 is a farm stand,
oil,
I believe. Well, I'm talking about the other side of 26. Yeah, that's the produce stand. I think it's Mr. Representative Adkins' produce stand. He has a produce stand. Then there's a Royal Farms
that's on the adjacent, the intersection just to the south, let's see, at the intersection of 26 and 113, and then on the final fourth corner of the intersection is a medical facility building, okay. Medical offices.
So how far from 113 is this entrance application?
I believe it's 530 feet from 113.
Okay. That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question for one of you. If I were to characterize Route 26 as a major artery to serving the towns of Laurel, Delmar, and Salisbury, would I be correct?
I don't think so. I don't think it goes through to Laurel or to Delmar. Now,
it ends at Shaft Docks Corner.
Okay.
Which is Route 30 that runs from Millsboro to Gumboro.
Does DelDOT characterize it or categorize it as a feeder road, or what class do they call that?
Yeah, I don't have DelDOT's character classification of the roadway at this time. I can find it for you and I can supply it to you. Definitely as part of the site plan review process, but I can't speak for DelDOT at this time. I don't know.
I just asked that. I'm familiar with 26 heading east, you know, from Royal Farms and how that's designated. So thank you for your time.
It is within that combined, you know, highway corridor overlay zone where they specifically talk about, I think in our comp plan it even talks about large-scale commercial centers. The entire property, I don't believe, is. I think, although I'm not certain, I think that that's how we get this kind of oblong line. That's where the line for the highway corridor overlay zone goes through the property, which is high-density commercial.
Consider major road. Talk to
Mr. Smith.
Oh, yeah, major road doesn't call under collector.
I'm sorry, say again, Mr. Blank.
It makes reference on the transportation network map as it being a major road. And then on the roadway functional classification map, it's called a major collector.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Johnson.
Ms. Hansen, is it safe to characterize this area that's on both sides of 26 on Route 113 is becoming highly commercialized with some shopping centers and some business centers nearby? Is that not correct?
I don't know that I would say it's highly commercialized,
but
right,
it's becoming
now.
More
it's
so.
Becoming more so, yes.
So this is more in fitting with that.
Absolutely.
That's occurring already.
Absolutely.
I have no further questions.
Okay, Mr. Burton?
Just clear up one thing. The 6/10 that you're talking about is the rear section of the property.
Highway corridor, overland zone.
Mr. Chairman, if I can, I want to clarify. It's not. It's commercial, isn't it, on that side? I mean, the actual
yes,
zoning.
The zoning is commercial.
Actually, that's the zoning line for the highway for the corridor, not the overlay zone. It's the
zoning for the property.
It's
that's
zoning
the zoning
line.
For the property, but
from that line to the highway is already C1, has been for a long time.
Right.
Somehow or another, this lot got
an odd
straddling the line.
When the maps were originally created, we did not have property maps to go by.
Right.
So everything was done dimensionally.
Just
and 500 foot from the western right away of Route 113.
Right. Well, and I believe the corridor, the highway corridor overlay zone, though, is 600 feet
right.
from the right of way along 113. So, you know, that's why it's a little bit difficult. This is certainly the zoning line. It may also correspond with that highway corridor overlay zone line, too, because I said we're 530 feet away from the intersection. The overlay zone is 600 feet from the right-of-way of the overlay. So it's either close to that line or encompasses all the property.
So part of the tax ditch is actually in C1?
Yes.
No further questions.
Okay. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Counsel?
No questions, thanks.
All right then, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone 1625, Darren Schaefer, care of DGS Services, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1625? Okay.
Good evening. Thank you for recognizing us. For the record, my name is Veronica Faust. I'm an attorney with Bifferato Gentilotti in Lewis, Delaware. I am here tonight with my client, David Krulak, who owns the property immediately west to the property at issue this evening. If you look on the site plan presented to you by the petitioners, you will see that Mr. Krulak's property fronts on Route 26, adjacent to the property at issue. Quite frankly, commissioners, we are not really here to object to the rezoning of this property. What we are here to do tonight is to request that in consideration of this rezoning, that the commission consider placing conditions upon the rezoning.
We can't do that, ma'am. It's either yes or no for a change of zone. So we can't place any conditions on a change of zone.
Well, then, at that point, let me at least explain to you what my client's concerns are.
Happy to hear you.
With the property as it stands and what he would like to see change before the commission presents its position to the council or approves this project and recommends it to the council. For starters, if you'll note on the plan, the bulk of the parking is located on the residential side of the property. The zoning line divides the property in from C1 to AR1. In addition, the entrance is on the residential side. We believe that it would be prudent and best protecting Mr. Krulak, the other homeowner, to the north of him, and would minimize the negative impact of the commercial use if the entrance was on the American Legion side, which is already zoned commercial, and the bulk of the parking would be on the American Legion side, which is already zoned commercial. We believe that that would minimize the impact of the noise and the traffic to the property. Since that property is already zoned commercial, it would make sense to put the more commercial elements closer to the commercially zoned property. As it stands, 19 parking spaces are placed on the residential side. We believe that it would be better, all parties would be better served if that was on the other side, on the eastern side of the property. In addition, we understand that, and this was not part of the plan, so we were not privy to this prior to this hearing, but my client is also concerned about a shrub plan being placed. As you can see, the parking is specifically directed towards his property. Any light from any incoming cars would be directed to his property. And he believes that it's incumbent upon the developer to place the evergreen hedge. And we also believe even if the parking was reversed, where only 9 parking spaces as opposed to 10 were placed, that the prudent thing and the most considerate thing and the best use and protection for the residential property owners would be to place a hedge there. We have also noted that there was no, we're concerned about the lighting. The 115-166G of the code requires that the property be placed so as to minimize glare to the residents. And we note that the plan presented does not reflect what the lighting would be. The other concern we have is, this is probably a question which we could present and hopefully the petitioner will address as well, is it appears to us, based on this plan, that there will be no outside storage. And it's particularly important to my residential owner that there be no outside storage that would create an unsightly condition next to his residential property. We also note that in the zoning that they're required, there is no, we would ask that that we have not heard anything about the use of the access of vehicles. We would ask that there be no heavy traffic or trucking, as that's required by the zoning that they're requesting, that there be no frequent trucking, that there be no nuisance factors such as dust, odor, or noise. We're interested in the gravel that they're using. Is that going to create dust? We noticed that the parking plan does not appear to be paved, and my client is a developer, and he's cognizant of that cost factor, but that is one of his concerns. We are also concerned about the hours of operation of this business, and again, we wanted to present these issues. We understand. I know that the council can impose certain conditions if they choose.
They can't, ma'am. We can't impose conditions on a change of zoning. We can on a conditional use. A change of zone, and it's very clear in the ordinance, a change of zone is either yes or no. It's not yes but, because that amounts to contract zoning, which is illegal. So appreciate the issues you're raising, but they're all site plan issues. The issue we're here to decide is whether that piece of property is appropriate for any commercial use, not that commercial use. And, you know, that's what we're here to talk about. If you have some evidence that indicates that there are conditions in the area that would indicate that this should not be commercially zoned, we'd be happy to hear about them. But I have to tell you that, you know, all your comments about the individual site and all that stuff, those are all site plan issues that if these folks are successful, you will have the opportunity to raise those during the site plan approval process. But at this point, it's simply yes or no. Is it good for commercial or not? So I hate to burst your balloon, but you know, that's the law.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to hear our concerns.
Sure.
We thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.